We're entering kind of into this era that we call drones as infrastructure.
Power grid is what keeps our civilization running.
Rather than just trying to optimize like a flight, we would love to optimize the outcome.
When the stakes are high, this is a game changer.
If it doesn't solve the problem that immediately needs to be solved, it doesn't actually deliver value.
Developing solutions in theory that solve problems in theory that become obvious the second you get on the ground, that would prevent me from having to climb up onto this tower and get the job done.
You don't need to think about how to fly the drone, but just think about the objective in mind.
Our effectiveness lives and dies by the customer outcome.
By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly why bringing engineers and product teams into the field is vital to scaling pilots and partnerships. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Power Perspectives. I'm Matt Chester. Shiny new tech is cool and shiny and new, but how do utility leaders ensure that the cutting-edge technology defining the future of the grid can actually graduate from program pilot to operational value? We're exploring exactly that today through the lens of some really compelling, game-changing technology, drones. When they're built with the utility workflow in mind, drones immediately become a productivity engine, and our guests are about to explain how and why. But before we dive in, we want to thank our partners at Skydio for making this episode possible. Skydio helps utilities move beyond outdated, time-based maintenance to smarter, safer, and more scalable condition-based maintenance. Powered by autonomous remote-operated drones, over 280 utilities trust Skydio. Because with real-time aerial data and remote inspection, utilities can spot issues early, reduce forced outages, and make confident, efficient, cost-effective decisions. And stick around to hear more about the team at Skydio and their really interesting work. And let's get right into that. I want to introduce our guests today, all from that very same Skydio team. We have Christina Park, Senior Director of Energy Strategy, Suchet Bergodi, Director of Inspection and Mapping, and Cooper Lin, Senior Product Manager. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. And Christina, specifically, welcome back to you. You joined us on Power Perspectives about a year ago at this point. So we're thrilled to have you back in the hot seat and have some of your colleagues with you. And to start, I'd love if you could each give us a rundown of who you are, what you do at Skydio, and how you got started doing it.
Sure, I can lead off. So my name is Christina Park. I lead energy strategy here at Skydio. I've been here about 3 years. I was actually hired in as a previous utility customer. I used to work for the New York Power Authority for 15 years in engineering and asset management. And I think part of the reason that I was hired along with my colleague, Corey Hitchcock, who used to work at Southern Company, is because we wanted to have internal utility expertise and industry perspective as we were building out solutions. So I like to say that I'm here to connect the problems that exist in the utility industry out there to the solutions that our brilliant engineers like Suchet and Cooper and others are building.
Matt Suchet here. I am leading the engineering team at Skydio that does inspection and mapping. My background is robotics machine learning. I come from many years of how we can use robotics, AI, imaging, computer vision to really like broaden how much people can see and make assessments on that at scale. Working previously in energy industry in oil and gas, but now in the utility space at Skydio, we are really figuring out how drones can be the eye that can be out there monitoring things without you having to be out there and get you information as quickly as possible. And Skydio is really at the forefront of that. So it's, I love sort of being here, sort of driving the technology forward and figuring out how technology can automatically respond to the events that happen out there and help our customers out without them having to send people out there.
Hey, I'm Cooper. I am the Senior Product Manager for Inspection and Mapping. So working alongside my engineering partner in Suchet and our go-to-market teams with Christina, as well as with the customers themselves to really understand what problems our customers in the critical infrastructure markets have and what we can do to bring our family of flying robots to bear to create like the most efficient solutions to perform their inspection needs and their incident response needs. I come from a background actually in the satellite industry, also doing monitoring of critical infrastructure as well as catastrophe response. I've also spent some time using other platforms like fixed wing and actually drones in a previous life as well. Just get unique and scalable perspectives on this massive and complex infrastructure that powers our civilization and understanding what we can do to derive insights for how those are operating.
Excellent. No, that's all great context. And it's such a fascinating area because, you know, we're all, I think those of us outside of the drone sector, it seems so neat to think about. And there's so many practical applications in the utilities. And for, you know, again, our regular listeners who probably caught our conversation with Christina a year ago, a lot can change in a year. So with that in mind, you know, I want to kick it over to you, to Christina, to ask, you know, how have you seen in that year the landscape of utilities change in terms of their general attitudes and adoption and use cases for drones?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think a year ago, I'd have to go back and listen to that podcast, but I think we had talked about how drones were originally seen as kind of toys and as these novel R&D products, and how at that time we were entering into a phase of drones as tools. So something that you can throw in the back of your truck, something that you can have on hand in order to be your eyes in the sky, so to speak, and in order to improve your ability to take digital records and to really have a better digitization of your asset management system. I think since then, it's actually been really exciting, not only with the developments that we've had in our products and the reliability that comes with that, but in seeing them deployed with our customers out in the utility industry. We're entering kind of into this era that we call drones as infrastructure. So especially with these new remote operations capabilities through the Skydio docks, there's the ability to kind of put the products out there so that they become a part of your system and a part of your grid maintenance and monitoring, as opposed to the previous version, which was something that you could take with the person to go out there to do their jobs better.
So I was going to say, I completely echo what sort of Christina's saying. And I feel like over the last year, the way I see it is that a year or two ago, when you start flying a drone, you need a lot of expertise, you need to know what it's doing, and you need to get trained up. And what we've been focusing on is like trying to change that language by which you you engage with a drone. You know, what moving towards, you don't need to think about how to fly the drone, but just think about the objective in mind. And the drone as infrastructure paradigm allows you to say, hey, I want to achieve this outcome, and then let this machine kind of like just do its own thing to get there. So now you don't normally need to be an expert in operating the machine. You need to be the expert at managing your assets and let the infrastructure take care of that for you. And that's where like a lot of the technology investment is going over the last year to make that possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it makes me think that, you know, again, as you're going from kind of proving it to utilities that, hey, this is something you should get into, it's more institutional and it's more understood. And that makes me think about, you know, what do those partnerships look like now, and what it really takes to make them impactful at the utilities from a technology perspective. So as you're evolving to, you know, meet the utility needs of today, you know, my understanding is that you've been more proactive about taking product and engineering teams directly into the field with utility partners. Can you tell me a little bit more about this and what the thinking was behind that approach?
Yeah, this was something that I think is pretty unique to Skydio, at least since I have sat on both sides of the fence. I think when I was working at a utility, it was not always as common to have the engineers and the people who are actually making the products come out and sit down and brainstorm, right? So a lot of times that would be done in more of an R&D phase. But I think for us, it's been a priority to really have our staff really understand deeply the problems that are being experienced out in the field at all levels, right? So I think that Suchet and Cooper have been really game to fly all over the country and meet with various staff from people who are running, you know, the Center for Customer Reliability all the way up to executives. And everybody cares about some different part of the puzzle. But at the same time, I think they've really rolled up their sleeves, put their boots and hard hats on and gotten out in the field, stood out in the sun, looked at the glare on the screen, thought about the buttons and the whole flying experience, as well as sitting down in a conference room and really whiteboarding out what does a workflow look like, how does the data flow, where might there be hangups and blockers and things like that. So I think working together has been a really important priority for us, and I think it's been really well received.
Can you walk us through that process, you know, tangibly on a day of a ride-along, if you want to call it that? What does that look like in the field with the utilities?
Yeah, I think Cooper, Suchet, I want to throw this to you. I think Cooper comes from the product perspective and Suchet from engineering, but how's the experience been for you?
I think the experience is really important and illuminating. You know, as Christina was alluding to, the on-the-ground reality for the challenges that our customers are facing, like these inspectors going out, oftentimes putting themselves in dangerous situations to make sure that this critical infrastructure is you know, not going to fail, basically, comes with a lot of risks. And I'll say often, like when you're doing product development, you can find yourself in this space where you're developing solutions in theory that solve problems in theory, but there are so many variables that you're just not going to be able to anticipate or see when you're just stuck in your office that become obvious the second you get on the ground and see what these people have to deal with and when they're putting themselves in harm's way to get the job done. And it also often is hard for these customers to articulate all of these challenges in something like a meeting setting. But when they are on the ground, they're experiencing it, everything pops into their head, or you can just see it. And so, you know, being in the field with them, you know, going out to the substations in the utility space, or just watching them perform an inspection of distribution poles or transmission towers, and just seeing the challenges they run into, like you're going to experience this is the same problems that they deal with on a day-to-day basis in that moment. And then when you make suggestions or offer potential solutions that you know you can bring to bear with the technology that you have, and then see that relief on their face of just like, oh my God, that would be amazing. You know, that would save XYZ things. That would prevent me from having to climb up, you know, onto this tower and get the job done. It's really gratifying, and it is really quick and effective signal to know that you're going the right direction with your product development.
Yeah, I would definitely echo what Cooper said there. And back to the sort of point about drones as infrastructure, rather than just trying to optimize like a flight, we would love to optimize the outcome. And you don't really fully feel what the outcome is. You're there in the trenches with the customer, really understanding what outcome they're trying to drive. To say, okay, this is our end goal. And while it's very rewarding to like very like informational to actually understand how that works, but it's super rewarding to actually see the outcomes of your work as well. Like you out there in the field in first quarter, you put something together, you get out there, you test it with them again, and you can just like see their eyes light up and say, oh, you listened to me and you actually got this done through. I find that that's super rewarding, at least for the engineers and our team, to say, hey, my stuff is making an impact.
Yeah. And to go back to your question, Matt, in terms of walking through the process, we've done this quite a few times now in the past year. And I think we have a bit of a formula where we try to start our day early. Obviously, utilities start their days, you know, 6-7 o'clock. Technology firms in Silicon Valley do not typically start that early. But we get out there with them and we start out in the field. So we like to actually start whether it's a substation, whether we're down the line, we'll meet them at a location that they choose. And we will ask our partners to actually choose locations where they think that there's something interesting to look at, to really have an experience that is most representative of where they would use the equipment. So a lot of times we'll hop on whatever inspection was scheduled for that day and get clearance to come on site. And we'll walk down and do the inspections with them, kind of look over their shoulders. If there's something new that we want to test out or bring along, then we'll bring a demo unit and we'll put it in their hands and let them test it out. And then after lunch, we'll usually have kind of a conference room session. And typically these might be two different audiences because, as we said, there are different personas in the utility that care about the actual capture portion of the inspection, but also what happens to the data downstream from that and how that gets processed and how that gets turned into actual insights. So we'll sit down and we've had whiteboarding sessions where we've kind of walked through, you know, the path of the data from capture to process to where it goes after that, how work orders get created, to really understand the overall asset management process. And I think that's something that's been really important to us, that we don't want to just stay in our lane of the drone is a flying camera that can get you some data, but really, how do we lead that, as Suchet said, to the outcome that you desire?
I was just going to say, Matt, when I hire people in the team, software engineers, not many of them expect to be wearing a hard hat and spending a day out there. And when they do come out of it, they're always like really happy that they went out there.
I imagine the same is true on the utility side. They didn't necessarily know they were going to go out and, you know, watch some drones fly around and you know, experience that side of it. So there's got to be a lot of learning on both sides there.
Yeah, and we've been really well received. I think we have really great partners who are such gracious hosts to us. But I think that one of the reasons that we make the effort to fly all over and come out is to really emphasize the partnership. So the importance of building the right product to solve the right problem. I think a lot of times the tendency is to build something cool or something that's the most cutting edge. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't solve the problem that immediately needs to be solved, it doesn't actually deliver value.
Yeah, and it's also like you know, there's something about bringing, you know, the actual engineer or the actual designer that is working on or has built the solution that we are then presenting to the customer that will solve their problem. You know, it kind of changes the perspective from the customer that we are just some company in there, some customer. We are a collection of people that are dedicated to solving these groups of people's problems and this specific person's problem. So when they have access to the actual humans that did the work and want to understand their challenges directly, it creates a much stronger partnership, and it really breaks down those barriers and it lets us do a lot of that brainstorming, workshopping, and development together, as opposed to have it be like a strictly transactional relationship.
Yeah, that makes sense. It really emphasizes how you guys are trying to be partners, not here's an off-the-shelf product, go and use it. And Cooper, I wanted to go back to something that you said earlier, which was the disconnect that can kind of arise if, you know, somebody's in a boardroom and they're not in the field, and, you know, having them see it in person kind of, you know, helps light the light bulb. I'm curious if you can give us any examples of features or choices that, you know, maybe to a utility looked good on paper, but when they're out in the field, it didn't make sense, or they saw why maybe that wasn't the right approach.
Yeah, I think we can talk about a capability that we spent a fair amount of time on in order to basically solve the problem of performing inspections autonomously. And that was this capability that we called Semantic Scan, which was our way of using the powerful computer vision that we have on our drones to understand the volume, the object that it's looking at, you know, basically perform an action whereby it's going to fly around this object and build, you know, inside its brain, basically a 3D model of what it's looking at, and then calculate from that, you know, the best poses to place itself to take shots of everything that it needs to see, so you can get like a holistic picture of these towers. And that, again, is something that sounds really good in theory, and I actually think that there is still plenty of value to be gained from a solution like that. But at the time when we built it, I think we were maybe a little ahead of our skis in terms of like what we could bring operationally to the field, because, you know, it's one thing to get a really precise rendering, let's say, of an asset. It's another thing to do that for 1.5 million assets over the course of a year or two, or even doing, you know, tens of those or more, 100 in a day. And so we kind of came up to an inefficiency problem when it came to actually putting that in the field and giving it to the customers. And so we ended up pivoting to something that was more precise and tactical and efficient, right? Whereby now what we are working on, which is kind of the successor to that capability, is what's called asset-based inspection, whereby we are essentially allowing the customers to pre-plan those poses so that they are basically taking pictures of exactly what they need to see on each asset, seeing every critical component, but not wasting any time or any shots, you know, seeing things that may be redundant or just not useful to them. This allows the same customer experience, which is you have your drone autonomously performing your inspections without a pilot needing to intervene, while also saving a significant amount of time in the field, really increasing that rate of, you know, assets you can inspect in a day. And ultimately, that is how our customers measure their own success, which is what is the throughput of quality inspections that I can perform in a given day, week, or month. And so we are going to use those same heuristics to measure our own success and effectiveness of our product.
And you mentioned, you know, measuring the success. And one item that I always imagine is challenging when you're at a pilot stage is knowing the right KPIs and metrics that the utility wants to measure versus what you think might be possible and useful. So can you talk a bit about what you all have found to be the right key metrics to actually measure success with these early deployments and pilots?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, it really just goes down to understanding how our customers are measuring their success, because, you know, our effectiveness and the efficacy of our products lives and dies by, you know, the customer outcome. And we are laser focused on that. And so what our customers care about is seeing very clearly and precisely everything of value on a given asset. Let's say it's a distribution pull, And when I say everything of value, basically anything that could degrade or fail and cause either a failure of the asset or a failure of the entire circuit that it lives inside. So that is step one. Make sure we are allowing the customers to see everything they need to see clearly and precisely. And then two, performing those inspections as rapidly as possible, right? Without sacrificing that quality and precision. And so that's how we measure ourselves. Are we able to get our customers the images of everything that they need to see so that they can resolve, you know, how deep into the insulator is the cotter pin that's holding that entire insulator together, while also ensuring that we can allow our customers to inspect the most amount of poles that they could in a given day or week. And there are a lot of, you know, dials that we can turn to make that happen because, you know, specifically at Skydio, you know, one of the things that is unique to our value is since our drones are performing autonomously, you have the option to scale your operations, basically the amount of drones that could be deployed by a single person, really without limit. Of course, there is a crawl and a walk and a run to that. But if the pilot does not have to be the expert in operating the drone, then you can imagine one pilot could be executing two, four drone missions, 16 or more. And so if we can nail that process for a single drone, then the scaling story basically tells itself. And so again, like we measure ourselves on our customers' outcomes. And if we are able to, you know, multiply the amount of inspections they can do while also increasing the quality of those inspections, then we feel like we're winning for our customer.
Yeah, I'll just add to that. I think like exactly what Cooper mentioned, metrics that we sort of hold ourselves accountable to, how quickly can we get out there, what the quality of our information is. But when we sort of go out and do these customer visits, it helps us to like really understand the customer's KPIs as well at a higher level. At the end of the day, they're managing assets. So first of all, like what's their baseline OPEX? Now we know that we are one part of that big equation, but we are part of that equation. So how much are they spending, like how efficient it is at a higher scale, the entire inspection and maintenance task, and like how can we play our part, which is exactly results in the sort of notes that Cooper mentioned. But also, if they were able to do this, how many incidents did we stop? How many incidents did we respond earlier to? How many customer sort of interruptions did we prevent? And how can we track that over time? So we're really sitting there closely with their management team to understand what are these high-level business metrics that they're tracking. And during these business metrics, you're not even thinking about the drone. It is like, this is costing the business. And then we kind of go down a level and say, okay, what does that mean for the drone to fly and to be able to achieve the help you contribute to improving those high-level metrics?
Yeah, I think that is a great point, Suchet, because like ultimately, our customer, like we are a drone company. We obviously care a lot about drones, but our customers don't care, you know, that way they're using drones. It wouldn't matter to them if the most effective solution for performing their incident response and their proactive inspections was, you know, an army of robot dogs or satellites or what have you. You know, the fact that it's drones is just because we feel strongly that we have brought to bear the most efficient and effective solution to getting these outcomes for the customer. And so, yeah, as much as possible, we are leaving the drone element out of the equation and really being extraordinarily focused on what their business needs and how we can reduce the risk to all of their operators.
Yeah, and I would say from the utility perspective, at the end of the day, depending on where somebody sits, what I find interesting with the evolution is that, you know, we used to track and our customers used to track the flight hours. How long is my battery life? How long can I stay in the air? How many assets can I inspect in one day? And can I get that number to double? Which is still something that is tracked and is still important. But on a higher level, once they do all that and they go up their chain to report out to their executives, to the board, to the trustees, whoever it may be, what the results are, well, those people don't care how long you flew. It doesn't make a big difference to them in terms of those statistics. But what does make a difference is, well, these are the things that I found. And this is how I can back calculate to say, well, I saved us an outage. And that outage, if I had let this fail because I didn't catch the early indicator, would then have these downstream effects where this many customers would be out of power for this duration of time. And it would have cost us this much in overtime to get the labor in there. It would have cost us, for example, if a transformer had blown. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic piece of equipment, but it's also very expensive. And the lead time and the supply chain to replace that. Some certain critical components can have supply chain issues and lead times of up to a year or 2 years, right? So if you think about your spare parts strategy, your asset management strategy, and all of your risk matrices and how you put all this together, this is just more information that helps you set up your backup plans and really try and get from that reactive state to the proactive, hopefully to the predictive. And that's really the value that we're trying to deliver.
Definitely. And I think it's clear from this conversation that part of the value you're delivering is coming from having such an all-star team behind it all. So I'd love to kind of ask how your teams have evolved in recent years, just to make sure that you have all that right experience and expertise on your team. Christina, you talked about your background on the other side of the fence at utilities. You know, what has the evolution of the Skydio team looked like in recent years?
Yeah, so like I said, about 3 years ago, there was a concerted effort to really double down on a few critical industries. And I think at the time it was public safety, defense, and utilities. So that's the time that Corey Hitchcock and I were hired specifically to come in with utility background, in order to help internally enable everybody to understand our customers, the problems, the industry, and just how the industry moves, right? The utility industry is one that's really been around for a long time, a little bit averse to change, and rightfully so, because you can't really take a whole lot of risk when you are here delivering power and generating power for the entire country. And I think that was really important to understand. Since then, we've also hired in a few other folks who have utility backgrounds in various roles. For example, we have Mitch Morris, and he was in deployment. And that was really important, because understanding the protocols and the procedures that are needed to deploy a piece of technology, and what sort of restrictions there might be, and doing some of the change management, that was really important to have his perspective. But even Suchet and Cooper have come on more recently than I have, but it was really exciting to kind of see each of them come into Skydio. And I think having somebody in engineering who has a background in oil and gas and who has seen critical infrastructure and worked with technology was really exciting when Suchet came in. And likewise with Cooper, I think when our previous product manager left, Suchet and I were a little bit like, hey, the three-legged stool is missing a leg now. We have to really make sure that we find a sturdy leg. And I think Cooper has really hit the ground running, and his product perspective is really spot on, really kind of starting with the problem that he's trying to solve. And I think from the first day, as we were onboarding, he was really picking my brain and others to really try and understand the people that we're trying to serve.
I was going to add a little bit to that. You talked about team, Matt, but I wanted to talk a little bit about culture as well. And also comparing like how things have been at Skydio and all the different companies that I've been at before. What I really valued is that from the very top, across the heart of Skydio, is like the word customer obsessed. No matter who you are, what you are, like deeply think about what the customer pain point is. And that trickles down all the way down from the management, all the way down to the interns. And everyone's like, go out, go visit, go see what it is. So it becomes like a true partnership between Cooper, Christina, and myself and the corresponding teams, rather than perhaps a more conventional sort of approach where, okay, design talks to the customer, product talks to the customer, they come in, they kind of hand off the documents, and then you go build. It really becomes a very strong partnership, and everyone's encouraged to like really personify that customer for themselves and kind of see what that experience would be like. And I think that's been something great at Skydio.
Yeah. And I also think that something that I noticed coming here is there's like a real love for solving these problems and like just facing the challenges. You know, it's easy in Silicon Valley to, you know, get a little hyperbolic about, you know, what you're doing and the problems that you're solving. But like, I think we can say quite confidently and truly that, what our customers are doing is some of the most important jobs in our civilization. Like the power grid is what keeps our civilization running, you know. Just to be one of the things, you know, like our company is also keeping our you know, first responders safe. Basically, anywhere where you see people doing the most dangerous real world jobs, there is a way that having a flying robot assisting you can keep you safer and do your job better. And there's a real passion to make that happen, right? To get people out of harm's way and to do the job more effectively. So again, these critical components that keep our civilization running, are happening more smoothly and more measurably. It's just exciting to see everybody here really bought into the mission. And you can see when we, put together a solution that our customers really feel is helping them, there's a level of satisfaction at this company that I haven't seen elsewhere.
Yeah, and you, all three of you independently bring up the customer side of it. So, Suchet, I hear that customer obsession that you talk about, and obviously, the hiring and your team is one side of things, but the other side is those customers. So I'm curious, as your teams have evolved and kind of built up, how has it impacted the ways that you're able to collaborate and work in lockstep with the utilities based on these growing experts that you have on staff?
Yeah, so I think the utilities have been really receptive. I think some of this is also kind of my ability, Corey's ability to leverage our personal relationships with our colleagues and our network and kind of our reputations to come in and say, hey, we're really interested because we used to be one of you and we really want to move the industry forward. And I don't think that's changed. I always tell people that, I wear a different shirt and I work for a different company, but at least for me personally, and I think I could speak for Corey as well, we really just want to see the industry move forward and be able to operate more effectively and efficiently. So I think that a lot of what I do is I feel like I'm a bit of an ambassador to come in and, speak the same language, be able to talk shop and open up these conversations to get to the right people so that it's almost like playing fullback for Suchet and Cooper to run through the hole and get to the right person who can answer the questions they have and also for them to be the right person to answer the questions on the utility side.
Yeah. And there's also just like the natural force multiplier effect you get on like the product and engineering side. When you have more people on the team, you can, one, solve larger problems with more comprehensive solutions more rapidly. And two, for more I would say nuanced issues, you can really sit a person on that problem and really let them dive into it and own it and understand it at a level that you couldn't if you didn't have, people on the team that you could bring to bear with that kind of flexibility and scale. So yeah, it's been great to see the team grow and to just have more people that we can have in our rooms brainstorming. Just we work with some of the smartest people that I have ever met. And so, just hearing their perspectives when we're in that mode, that brainstorming workshop mode, which I think is like the stage in product development that some of us love the most, it's really motivating and compelling.
Yeah, and just to kind of make it tangible, I'd love if you guys could walk us through a case study that you've taken on recently that really hammers home that strength of your current approach with your teams. What's a recent win that comes to mind?
There's actually a pretty strong one that we're working on today, which is just going back to enabling that asset-based inspection experience, right? Where again, the drone is able to autonomously arrive at an asset like a distribution pole, take all of the images that it needs, and then move on. Something that you notice right away, again, when you move from the world of the theoretical into the real, is, customers, the utility customers have these incredibly expansive and comprehensive GIS data sets that are basically, recording the locations and characteristics of all of the assets that they own. Talking, distribution poles, towers, substations, even just, protective equipment and devices on every single one of those assets. One thing you find very quickly is that these databases are actually quite inaccurate, right? You would see pretty routinely that if in a customer's GIS database, they have a line of poles at certain locations, right, with a lat and a long, you see that those poles are actually maybe 10 to 20 meters away on the ground from where they are in the data set. And when you're trying to send drones autonomously to those locations to perform inspections, you really need that precise data to power that experience. And so we have resolved to build a solution to correcting those locations using the drones. And one thing that I found amazing is we started when we were attacking this problem. Of course, we needed a way to do these corrections really precisely, but also efficiently, of course, because again, whatever solution you're bringing to bear for utilities, it needs to work for millions upon millions of assets. So you really need to nail the scale there. And so we started developing this model whereby you would send the drone out to, you know, have a pilot manually take two images at specific poses to derive the locations and the heights of those poles and then move on, which is very effective for getting precise data, but it's quite slow, of course, because again, you're requiring a manual flight to perform that correction. And we brought some folks on the team to very quickly graduate beyond that to the realm where we are using, again, the computer vision inside the drone to detect where these poles are and to triangulate their positions in real time and record the data that way, which allows you to go from a model where you're stopping at each pole and taking these multi-pose shot sheets to just flying at high speed down the line and hoovering up all of this data of where these poles actually are and doing the corrections in bulk. So this is something we're working on now, and it was really only possible to graduate to that next stage as quickly as we did because we have the team that we have, and we were able to grow at the rate that we have been.
Yeah, I think that if we take a high level view here, we can talk about the flight experience, right? At the end of the day, in order to do a certain number of inspections and raise that number day to day so that they can get more productivity, the immediate pain point was, well, mission planning, which is to say figuring out where the drone needs to go in order to take the shots that it needs to, was a bit cumbersome. It was a manual process, and there was a lot of feedback for those improvements. But we really kind of zoomed out of that to say, well, in the overall workflow of the utility, what is the most valuable thing we can deliver, and how can we go from being kind of a parallel piece of technology alongside the asset management workflow and bring them together? And that's really where asset-based inspections was born, to really say, well, the utility has a ton of data around their assets. Their entire asset management strategy is around their assets. You have an asset ID, you have a location, you have condition assessments, you have records, but they are all tied to the asset in some sort of work management system or asset management system. So can we meet them where they are instead of us going out and having this whole separate database and collecting all of this data and then pushing it to where they need to go where they are, and take the data that they have that exists already, use that to streamline the mission planning process, right? Streamline the actual capture process, but then with the eventual goal of making the resulting data push back into their systems. And again, a lot of this is the vision of what we are planning to do and what we are working on now. But it was really born out of really connecting to say, what is important to the utilities is the assets themselves. And what we are doing by doing all these inspections is getting condition updates to these assets. So if we could tie all this data together, it would just make the process so much easier for them, as well as us.
I think I'll add something there on the operational win as well. So, I mean, Cooper mentioned about the asset, getting the assets right. Christina mentioned the what it means at the higher level. But if you think about the operations, the inspection operations, I found it like quite inspiring to go to some of our leading utilities, and you walk in and there's this big command center. There's like 20, 30 screens, all the drones flying. There's a couple of pilots. And almost every week, we get updates from our like leading customers who are like really at the forefront of embracing this technology to take it forward. And they got one pilot running one of these inspections in parallel. A call comes in on Monday. Hey, we need to go look at these things. It automatically goes into this dashboard. Multiple drones launch, and the team there is just rejoicing. Like, hey, this is all just flying by itself, and this is all backed by the safety, the autonomy, the reliability, and the fact that they see the system robustly go out there, do the right things, come back and the efficiency that they're getting to be able to get that information and now tightly integrated with the team that's using that data to make insights. It is moving at like a lightning pace because we see like major updates in their systems. The amount of like coverage that they start off with like this one small town, this one small substation. Now they're in 30 different locations and they're expanding more is like a really clear testament to the wins that they're seeing and how quickly they want to see more of this across their entire infrastructure.
Yeah. And I would say just on top of that, because I completely agree, you know, you have to understand like these utility companies and really any of these operators that are responsible for our critical infrastructure, they can't really afford to take gambles on experimental technology that doesn't work, especially when they need to rely on it to get the job done because the stakes are too high. And you have to imagine that there are just an infinite number of vendors who are providing these kinds of solutions and trying to get in the door with these customers. And so they've seen it all, and they are going to have incredibly high standards for a technology like this to work and be effective and reliable such that they can actually operationalize it, as opposed to just having it exist as kind of a permanent science experiment. And so, you know, seeing the customers experience our solutions work in the field when it matters, when the stakes are high, and then telling us this is a game changer, that's like the ultimate gratification there and the ultimate signal that we are going down the right path, right? Because there is no higher burden to really meet than the standards that these companies hold for themselves and all the vendors that they work with.
Absolutely. I think that's a terrific note to end this on. So I'll cut us there and say, you know, well, before we end, we do want to put you through our lightning round real quick. But what I'm going to do is ask you all a couple of rapid fire questions, and you can answer in a word or a couple of words. This is meant to be a little bit more fun. But what would you say is the biggest misconception about drones or their use in utilities that you've come across?
I would say that you have to be an expert pilot in order to be able to use it.
I would say maybe, you know, the assumption that if a drone is flying nearby you, that they're probably spying on you is very wrong. You know, seeing how customers actually use the drones, they are incredibly efficient. They are getting themselves on target, looking at their own assets or the problems that matter to them and moving on. They're not interested.
Yeah, I was on the expert pilot as well. So
the next one I have, we've mentioned a couple of them, but is there a most exciting aha moment that you've witnessed in the field as you've had the utilities out with you?
The drone continuing to navigate autonomously, reliably, and it like it automatically sees obstacles. It goes around them. It goes get the perfect shot. Like just all that with your hands off continues to be, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, just on top of that, like we truly do work with and build to bleeding edge technology. And while it continues to be exciting on a day-to-day basis, it's impossible to not be at least a little bit desensitized to that when you're in it. So getting to see people experience that for the first time, especially when it is actually doing the job that they need it to do, and having that, there's like, it's part, you know, wonderment, but also relief, like, I no longer have to do this myself. Seeing that on their faces when we're out in the field watching them use this technology is,
yeah. And I think for me, it's actually, it's our ReadyLink feature. So ReadyLink is a QR code that you can pop up on the screen when you're doing a remote flight. So I could be in New York flying a drone in California and just pop up a QR code, and anybody can kind of see on their phone what the drone is seeing. So I feel like that is the biggest aha when I see people realize that this is a live flight. It's not marketing magic. It's not a recording. And then getting somebody who's never flown before to actually pilot it and have all these different people be able to see it on their phones. I think that's been a really fun moment.
Definitely. Awesome. Okay. And then the last one I have for you guys is, what advice do you have for anybody who wants to get involved in drones as a career field?
Now is the right time. It is changing at a lightning pace. This is you can be at the forefront of that change and drive that change.
I would say, yeah, there's no reason, there's no shortage of reasons to get excited about working with and building flying robots. And then I would just recommend that, like, while you dive into that space and that technology, like, keep at front of mind, you know, why you need to use these flying robots and what this technology is going to do for you or the people that you're trying to serve. And it will not be any less cool or incredible on a day-to-day basis when you're focusing on, like, how can these technologies be leveraged to solve real problems as opposed to just building it in a vacuum.
Yeah, and I would say you don't necessarily have to have expertise in drones to come into the drone field and make an impact. So depending on what your background is, I think as long as you're passionate about seeing society move forward and do things better. I think this is a really exciting industry.
I love it. That's wonderful. So Christina, Suchet, Cooper, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
Next.
And thanks again to Skydio for making this episode possible. Skydio helps utilities move beyond outdated time-based maintenance to smarter, safer, and more scalable condition-based maintenance. Powered by autonomous remote-operated drones, over 280 utilities trust Skydio. Because with real-time aerial data and remote inspection, utilities can spot issues early, reduce forced outages, and make confident, efficient, cost-effective decisions. For more information, head to the show notes where we'll have some links that you can check out. And for Power Perspectives, I'm Matt Chester, and we'll see you next time.